Brooks turned to me and Hondo. The sacred oath was meant to keep the peace.
Like a treaty? I said. Did they sign it?
Blood is thicker than ink,
Jazz said.
Brooks shuffled her feet uneasily, then said to Jazz, We need one more thing.
Jazz straightened his eye patch.
What's that?
Encantamiento.
I wondered what Brooks meant by enchantment.
Jazz nodded.
Harder to come by these days. But for you, anything.
Then he started humming the same song the tarot card reader had been singing.
That song.
Jazz leaned his beefy arms on the counter and glared at me.
What about it?
It's the same...
Kid, you've never heard that song.
I don't know why I didn't just walk away or agree with the giant who was likely to send me spinning into the Milky Way. But the words forced themselves out.
The tarot reader, that's his song. The prophesied days are a-coming.
The giant's forehead started to sweat. He wiped it with the back of his hand and rose slowly, swaying.
Jazz?
That was Brooks.
Hurry! Zane, Hondo, find some sugar!
Jazz kept rising, or maybe his legs were growing, and before I knew it, his head had reached the ceiling, which was about 15 feet high. One of his vest buttons popped off, and his jeans ripped along the seams. It was like watching the Hulk transform before my eyes. Except thankfully, Jazz wasn't turning green.
It's his diabetes, Brooke spat.
She stepped between me and the giant and held her arms out in front of her.
Jazz, it's okay. I'll get you some more Red Bull or some chocolate.
She glanced around quickly.
Any candy around here?
Hondo hurried across the store, but came back empty-handed.
So you met Santiago?
Jazz spoke slowly, but his voice had raised a few decibels, shaking the walls and hammering my eardrums.
That's very interesting.
Brooks found a small chocolate and handed it to her giant friend.
Come on, you know what happens when your sugar level drops. Eat this.
Jazz's eye grew bloodshot, and his face became ashen. Reluctantly, he took the chocolate and didn't even bother to unwrap it before he popped it in his mouth. I quickly slipped behind the counter before he could stomp me like a bug, and there I found a stash of Red Bulls. Up close, his huge toes were nasty and very hairy. He seriously needed to clip those nails. I tossed a six-pack to Brooks, who opened each can and handed them over before the giant's head rammed through the roof. Jazz guzzled two cans, then staggered. His eye ballooned. He hiccuped. And then came a burp with the force of an Arctic blast, except this was warm and wet and blew my hair back. And the stench? If you can imagine Coke mixed with beans and rotting cabbage, you've got a good idea of the smell. Hondo fell back, covering his nose and mouth.
Dude, gross!
Slowly, Jazz began to shrink back to his normal 8-foot status.
Oh!
He mopped his brow with a towel.
That was a relief.
Brooks tapped her foot impatiently.
You know you need to keep your sugar level up. Your diabetes is serious. How many times have I told you?
Jazz threw his hands in the air.
I'm trying, okay?
Then his gray eye met mine and held my gaze for a long 3-count.
You're sure you met Santiago?
Was that a trick question?
You couldn't have seen him,
he said, like he was answering his own question.
Why not? I asked, insulted. I know what I saw.
He's invisible.
Oh, I said sarcastically. I mean, if you put it that way. I hesitated, then let the truth rip.
I still saw him.
Jazz narrowed his eye.
So tell me, Zane.
He stretched my name long and thin.
Who are you, really? And what are you doing here?
I wasn't about to admit I was the bonehead he wanted to crush, or a godborn. Geez, how many wanted lists could I be on? I tugged my sweatshirt sleeve lower to cover the god of death's stupid mark and stuffed my hand in my pants pocket. Brooks shifted uneasily. I could tell she wanted to say something, but didn't know what. That was a first. "I'm searching for my dad," I blurted. Jazz grunted like he knew it was a half-truth. I didn't like the way he was ogling me. It was like he was thinking, liar, liar, liar. And the more he thought it, the hotter I felt. The jade turned over in my hand and pulsated. Had someone turned on a heater? The room started to spin, slowly at first, then so hard and fast I felt myself being ripped away from my body, one ragged thread at a time. A terrible pain gripped me in my leg, like a million white-hot pokers were stabbing every nerve. I wanted to scream in agony, but nothing came out. The last voice I heard was Hondo's. "Stop the bleeding!" Chapter 21. There was a sudden mind-numbing rush. Then everything was a spinning blur, swirls of color, mist, and words. "Now, now, now!" Had the whole world turned upside down, or was I dead? I wondered. I was just in Jazz's store when I collapsed. No, I disappeared. No, that wasn't right either. Ms. Cab's voice found me in the oblivion. "Hold on tight, Zane!" The spinning stopped, and I blinked. My eyes cut through the darkness, but my vision had changed. Things seemed bigger, and their edges were fuzzier. It was like I was looking through eyes that weren't mine. The night smelled of salt and ruin. To my left was the glimmering sea, as black as the beast's walls. To my right were massive stone structures, pyramids with narrow dirt paths that gave way to a green jungle. And I was on top of another pyramid, high above it all. My heart pounded. How the heck had I gotten here? This is only a dream, I thought. Any second now, Miss Cab's going to march her chicken self out and start screaming at me. I willed myself back to Jazz's, but nothing happened. Fine. I'd climbed the hundreds of crumbling steps that led down from the pyramid to some sort of plaza below. I'd hack my way through the jungle if I had to. I was about to get to my feet when I saw two huge spotted paws stretched out in front of me. I swallowed hard, hoping that the beast those paws were connected to was sleeping. Okay, so maybe I wasn't going to just cruise out of here. Carefully, I inched my arm back. A paw followed. My breath stuck in my throat. I waited a few seconds, then flexed my finger softly. Claws emerged from the outstretched paw. What the? That paw was mine. I screamed, but it came out a roar, and not even a good one, more like a raspy little cough. I looked down at my legs, my chest. I swiveled my head to see my muscular spotted back. Yep, I was a jaguar, all right. My body stiffened. My ears pricked, nostrils flared. Even the fur on my spine stood straight up. I wasn't alone. A shadow shifted. As if by instinct, I crouched lightly on the pads of my paws. From a darkened doorway, another jungle cat emerged. He stalked toward me. His fur was obsidian black and shone almost silver in the moonlight. "Hello, Zane." Did that massive beast just talk to me? Okay, I was definitely dreaming. His voice was dark and deep. "How do you know my name?" Oh, good. At least my brain was still human. He fixed his piercing green eyes on me and lowered his head gracefully. "I'm Huracan. Some call me Heart of the Sky." Heart of the Sky seemed like the name of a nice old man, or a 70s rock band, not this panther that looked like it would rip open your throat for gazing at him the wrong way. I took a step back. Whoa. My legs felt powerful, as if they were loaded with tightly coiled springs. Did you say Huracan? You're one of the creator gods.
You called?
He said slowly. Me? Call you? I don't think so.
You said the words, I'm searching for my dad. That's what brought you here.
My mind came to a screeching halt.
Did you say dad?
Yes.
The Jade never mistakes a call.
Do you know him?
Yes.
I froze. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Though I guessed it made sense that Huracan, one of the two original Maya gods, would know a lot of stuff. He could reveal the answer I'd been craving for so long. But now I wasn't sure I wanted to hear it. I mean, what if he said something like, your old man is a pus-sucking god of demons? My heart felt like it was being squeezed. I took a deep breath. So, who is he? Waves rushed to the shore far below. A single bar of moonlight danced on the water's edge. Huracan blinked his green eyes, lifted his chin, and held it there like he was waiting to be crowned or something. I stood taller. Well?
He's me.
In that moment, all the breath seemed to leave my body in a rush. It was like a meteor had slammed into my chest and made a crater the size of New Mexico. I'd waited my whole life to meet my dad, find out who he was. I always thought our first meeting would be like a lunch date or a ball game or, I don't know, a movie? I shook my head and stepped back. The broken stone was cool beneath my pads. Prove it, I said. Yeah, that's right, Mr. Powerful Beast, I thought. I'm not some gullible human that believes everything supernatural creatures tell him. Not anymore. Even if I was on top of a pyramid in the middle of the jungle, standing on four legs. Huracan stood taller and paced the edge of the roof.
Humans, he muttered, shaking his head.
Then with a deep breath, he said,
it was me on the building, trying to stop you from making that outrageous deal with Apuch. You're stubborn, strong-willed.
That doesn't prove anything, I said. A cool breeze parted the trees. He inched closer, but I stood my ground.
Your mom, he said. We used to skip stones at the lake.
So?
She came to the lake yesterday to find me. She's the reason I'm here now.
Okay, so this time I really did stop breathing. So that's where Mom had disappeared to. But if she knew how to reach him all this time, why had she kept him from me?
Act cool, Zane, I told myself. Act cool.
Fine, so Huracan was my dad, and he was the god of... what was it? I stretched my memory to the pages of my Maya book. Hurricanes? Earthquakes? Or was it bees? Oh, please don't let it be the god of stinking bees. I thought I heard him laugh under his breath, but when I looked at him, he was in this stupid, tightly wound stance that told me he probably never laughed. But that couldn't be right, because no way would my mom fall in love with some god with zero sense of humor. You're the god of... I thought I could let him fill in the blank.
Storms,
he said. Is that why Pacific called me Storm Runner? We had runners at school, kids who ran errands for the adults. 'Cause I'm not about to be your errand boy. This time there was no mistaking a light grunt slash laugh. He lifted his head toward the sea. A fierce wind ripped across the waters, creating gigantic waves. Palms bent their heads to the ground like loyal servants. But on top of the pyramid, there wasn't even a hint of a breeze. It was like he could control what the wind touched and what it destroyed. I guess that made sense, since, after all, he was a god. So I was the son of the god of storms. Was that why I sometimes felt heat in my fingertips? Why storms came out of nowhere when I was freaked out? Thank the saints he wasn't the god of bees, because being able to create storms is so much cooler. He kept his eyes on the sea. Was I supposed to say something next? Or was he going to launch into some big speech about how sorry he was that he hadn't been around? That he'd left me and Mom and never even sent a lousy birthday card? "The jade I gave you," he finally said, "is infused with ancient magic. The oldest magic from before the very first creation." Okay, so I wasn't going to get an I'm a dirtbag apology speech. He continued, "It allows you to travel here, to the empty." "The empty?" "This in-between place I created, away from wandering eyes and wicked ears. A replica of the Great Pyramids of Tulum, Mexico," he said. "It's the only safe place we can talk. And because I created it, no other gods have power here." I looked around at the sky, the ocean, the jungle, the abandoned pyramids. It was beautiful. About the furthest thing from empty I'd ever seen. Except at the far edge of the jungle, there was a blank space, like the uncolored part of a page in a coloring book. "What's that?" "An abyss. Until I finish it." "Abyss?" "An empty hole that goes on forever." "Oh, well, that settled it. No abyss for me." I gazed down at my spotted body. "Is there a reason I'm a cat?" He tilted his head to the right and blinked. "You spirit jumped, and you needed a body to inhabit. And as you can see, there aren't a lot of those around here. Would you rather be a monkey or a Yucatan jaybird?" "Spirit jumped. Okay, I'd worry about that later. Is that why you're a cat too?" "It's easier to talk to you if we're in the same form, since we don't..."
"Don't what?"
"We have no familiarity, no real emotional connection. If we did, it wouldn't matter what form we took." "Yeah, well, that sounded touchy-feely, and I wasn't about to have that conversation right now." He must have sensed my discomfort, because he kept talking. "You can travel here when you need to speak to me. Simply say the words or imagine this location," he said. "But be careful, Zane. Never travel to the empty unless you're in a safe place with those you trust. Do you understand?"
"Why?"
"Your body is left behind. You will be vulnerable." There was something very unnerving about the idea of being separated from your own body. What was happening to me back at Jazz's? I wondered. Hadn't Hondo said something about blood? In the meantime, I itched to try out my new body. I took a few steps as a jungle cat. I was light on my feet, stealthy, powerful. Amazing didn't even begin to cover it. Huracan treaded so close I could see the golden flecks in the center of his green eyes. "You're in trouble. You will need help to defeat Apuch," he said. Resentment pulsed up my legs and into my heart. Was he for real? Now he wanted to help me? I took a few paces back. A low growl sounded from my throat. Maybe you should have shown up before I let the god of death, darkness, and disaster into the world. I had an urge to launch myself down the steps and race through the jungle. I wanted to test these powerful legs and blow off steam. Steam that had been building with the discovery of every stupid secret that had kept me in the dark for so long. "Even I couldn't interrupt your destiny." He blinked and stalked past me coolly. "Let me help you now." "I already have a plan." "And what's that?" "I'm going to use a deadly pepper." Okay, that sounded even lamer out loud. "And I'm going to ask the twins how they defeated Apuch." He turned to face me. "They were smart." "Yeah, well, so am I." Why did I feel like I had to prove myself to him? He didn't even care about me. Huracan swiped the paw through the air and snarled. "If you would let me finish," he said. "Yes, they used their minds and their cunning. But Zane, they are unlikely to help you. How would you know? Can you see the future? It was a good plan. They were totally going to be grateful when I told them Apuch was coming for them in L.A. And if Huracan thought he could just waltz into my life and tell me my ideas were stupid, he had another thing coming. I'd show him. Apuch lacks your intelligence. I've known him for centuries. But he's learned. He's adapted. I fear...
What?
That he's reached out to the Yanto Triad.
The Yanto what?
A trio of evil. Good, bad, and indifferent. But don't let their names fool you. There isn't time to talk about that now.
Trio? As in three? As in one evil god wasn't enough to take down?
Hang on. How do you know all this?
The Bacabs.
They're the four giants that hold up the sky. North, south, east, and west. They once worked for me. I picked up regret in his voice, and something told me there was a whole story about these giants I wasn't going to hear that night. He blinked slowly.
What lies ahead is inconceivable.
His voice trailed off, and I knew more words were going unspoken. What was he holding back? I wondered.
You must be prepared. There will be no time for fear. Do you understand me? Time is running out.
Why can't you gods just fight him? I thought it was a logical question. I mean, shouldn't all of you care that he's loose and ready to destroy the whole world?
They've seen the world destroyed before, seen it recreated. They have no qualms about starting over.
He let loose a low growl.
And the gods are hungry for a war. The peace has lasted too long.
So, will the war take him down?
That depends.
On what?
Some of the gods like what Ishtab has done with the underworld. Others are calling for the old ways, and the old ways include Apuch.
I paced quickly along the edge of the pyramid. How the heck am I supposed to beat him when he's got... What did you call it? The Yanto Triad? I was about to say, just some human, some kid from New Mexico, when Huracan hardened his gaze. His voice was commanding.
You have the blood of a creator.
I took a moment to let the word sink in. The blood of a creator. He padded closer.
You are the Stormrunner.
There was that name again. That's what Pacific called me.
Huracan nodded slowly. It's the name she gave the Godborn, the one who would stand at the center of the prophecy of fire.
I liked it. It had a nice ring to it, better than Sir Limpsalot or McGimster. Man, if only the kids at school could see me now. A jaguar, a Godborn, the Stormrunner. So does that mean I can control storms too? I asked, holding my breath, hoping he'd say yes. But he didn't. He blinked, hesitated, then said in a low voice,
It's more complicated than that.
I've brought wind before, I growled, thinking about times when I was scared or angry or...
No, Zane, you didn't.
I was about to argue when he added,
Each of those times, that was me, trying to help you without drawing the other god's attention. The night you killed the demon runner, I brought the rain to help you get away before reinforcements arrived. They hate water. In L.A., I was trying to stop you from making the deal with Apuch. And on the day of the eclipse, I whipped up the wind to drown out the sounds of the magic, hoping you wouldn't hear it calling.
He let out a low growl.
All in vain, I admit.
First I felt deflated. Then hot anger pulsed in my chest. Well, sorry I don't speak storm. Huracan stalked closer and looked down at my right front leg. I followed his gaze. Even in my jaguar form, the mark of death was visible.
You belong to him now,
he said.
Do you see? Your life is tied to his unless you can defeat him yourself first. I felt dizzy.
Well, maybe you could show me how to use some storm powers.
A cool wind swept across the pyramid. Hurakan paced. The storm is a living force, made up of potent elements, as in lightning, thunder, wind, fire. His voice grew deeper, shaking with a power I couldn't even imagine. You must become one with it.
Why would Pacific call me the Storm Runner if...
My heart plummeted all the way to Shibalba. I felt the words form in my mind and heart, but they didn't make it to my mouth. It was a terrible irony, cruel, twisted. A deep and angry snarl came up.
I can't run!
There. I'd said the stupid words. Heat coursed through every muscle, and I wanted to bolt.
No, you can't,
Hurakan said, matter-of-factly.
Not in the physical sense.
Gee, thanks for stating the obvious, I thought. I felt a million kinds of terrible, which is officially your fault.
Hurakan's tail swished through the air.
We Maya gods have many names. One of mine is Serpent Leg.
Are you going to tell me I have a snake for a leg, too?
The muscles in his broad shoulders twitched.
It does indeed appear that you have inherited my serpent leg.
Whoa! I am not part snake! Crap! Was I going to grow scales?
It's not what you think, Zane, he said,
and I could hear the impatience in his voice. I guess he wasn't used to having to explain himself to humans.
It is a sign of strength, not weakness.
But how?
You will learn. For now, you must focus on Apooch. He made the deal with you because you're a great prize to him, Hurakan said. He knows you're my son, and he'll use it against you.
What did you do to the guy to make him hate you so much?
I put him in that prison, he said. I created the volcano. It's likely the reason you felt drawn to it.
Apooch, my mom, the sacred oath, the beast. He had messed up everything, and now I was the one paying for it. I backed up slowly, filled with a raw energy that needed to be spent. Without warning, my legs sprang me over the edge of the pyramid, down to the staircase. I took 3 steps at a time in powerful leaps and sprinted toward the cliff that overlooked the sea. I was fast, wicked fast. The wind clung to me like we were one, and for a second, I imagined remaining a jaguar forever. Hurakan was right behind me. I came to a screeching halt before flying over the edge. Man, it was such a rush to run like that. Storm Runner. Why did Pacific give me that name if I couldn't run? It didn't make sense.
Apooch tricked me, I growled.
You shouldn't have made the deal.
I kept my eyes on the ocean below.
I wasn't about to let people I love get hurt,
I said with the venom I hoped he felt like a barb.
Hurakan turned his gaze back to the jungle.
You need to get back, and it will be an unpleasant journey. I'm sorry about that.
Define unpleasant.
When the spirit has jumped, it's vulnerable to other forces, dark forces.
But I was fine coming here.
The journey forward is always easier than the journey back.
But
even though I was angry at Hurakan, I wasn't ready to leave. Not the Jaguar's power, not this place, not yet.
I have more questions. I just got here.
You aren't meant to stay in this state, Zane. It's dangerous.
Dangerous? Was he kidding? Like my whole life wasn't dangerous now?
His eyes narrowed and he lowered his head, drawing closer.
You want answers? You want to defeat Apooch? Then you must go to the old world.
What's the old world? Heat bloomed in me. I could feel the threads holding me here breaking, separating me from the jaguar's form. A place not marked by time. When you get there, look for Saki Koshol, the white spark striker. Do you understand? There was a sudden urgency to Huracan's voice. Old world, spark striker, got it. What the heck was a spark striker? I wondered. Forget about the twins, he said. How am I supposed to get to this old world? I asked, ignoring his advice about the twins. I'd already come all this way to see them. Besides, I wasn't his puppet. I had my own ideas. Let me work on that. And Zane. Yeah? I'm sorry about the blood. Chapter 22. Huracan was right. The journey back to Venice Beach was the opposite of the journey to the empty. It was dark and cold and filled with sharp, invisible whispers. Weak. Pathetic. I tumbled across the red-streaked sky. Doomed. Fool. Through the whispers, I heard Rosie's soft cry, and my heart split in two. Then Miss Cab. You're wasting time! There was no net to catch me. I slammed back into my body. It was like belly-flopping into a pool. I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't move or talk or do anything but listen and try to suck air into my lungs. Has he stopped bleeding? That was Brooks. Stuff more tissue into his nose, Hondo said.
Don't get any blood on the pillows, said Jazz. They're all the way from Marrakesh.
Thankfully, my body was on a soft bed or couch. As I lay there, I could practically feel my blood coming alive, pulsing through me as though it was only now remembering how to do its job. I held on to the image of Huracan and the words that were now burned into me like a hot branding iron. Blood of a creator. I knew about the creator gods, the ones who had gotten together to make the world, more than once. But if I remembered right, they were also the ones who had destroyed it. And if that was true, then that meant I also had the blood of a destroyer. A second later, my eyes flew open. Above me was a ceiling painted bright blue with a gold edge.
Dude, Hondo said, you were out for, like, ever.
I sat up in a nest of pillows. I jerked the wads of tissue from my nose and balled them in my hand. Blood was splattered across my gray sweatshirt. Note to self, traveling from the empty is cold and messy. Where am I? I asked, looking around.
Jazz smiled. My place. I live above the store. Like it? Don't let those dirty tissues stain anything.
The place was decorated in soft blues and greens, like the sea was wrapped around you. There was enormous hand-carved furniture, and the stone walls were rutted, as if someone very angry had taken an axe to them. Everywhere I looked, there were shiny objects, bowls, goblets, and mirrors. And the rough marble floor was covered in pale blue rugs that reminded me of Navajo rugs I'd seen back home. It's nice, I said, rubbing my head. What happened?
You fainted. Had a big nosebleed, Brooks said nonchalantly. Just like the other time, Zane. I told Jazz not to worry.
Other times? Hondo grunted and shot me a go-along-with-it look. Happens whenever he gets nervous, he told Jazz. Nose gushes, passes out cold. Jazz gave me a concerned frown, and I seriously hated the pity I saw in his eyes. It made me want to tell him it was all a lie. I wasn't a bleeding basket case. I was part God. Brooks hopped onto the edge of the bed, which was about 3 feet off the ground. Then she took my hand in hers.
Your spirit jumped, didn't you? How'd you know? Don't talk about where you went or who you saw. It isn't safe.
But I thought Jazz was your friend, which is why I don't want him to know anything. If anyone comes sniffing around, he could get hurt. It's better for him to be in the dark. Can't bleed someone for information they don't have.
Bleed?
Jazz shook his head.
Sorry if I made you nervous, kid. We giants have that effect.
I could tell he felt bad. Even though my pride wanted to tell the truth, Brooks was right. I didn't want Jazz to get into any trouble because of me. Hanzo paced at the foot of the bed. Dude, it was a geyser.
Yeah, I said, wiping the tip of my now dry nose. Sorry about that.
Jazz smiled and started taking his precious pillows off the bed while he launched into a speech about Marrakesh being in the east, and the east being lucky, and the Bacabu held up that part of the sky was an old friend, and...
Did you say Bacab? I asked.
Yes, Jazz said. Do you know them?
Yeah, no. I mean, I've only read about them, I said with a shrug.
This pleased Jazz, because his chest puffed up. Then he said,
I've got just the thing for you.
And he bounded out of the room. Brooks was still holding my hand. The blood's a side effect of spirit jumping, especially for first-timers.
First-timers?
I wasn't sure the trip was worth the journey, and if I'd ever do it again. I reached for the jade tooth, thinking I'd have to be careful about my choice of words from here on out. No more casually dropping the word dad.
You sound like you've done it, I said.
Not yet. I've seen it done, but changing into a hawk is enough magic, for now. All this talk of magic and blood reminded me of our deadline. What time is it? There were no windows and no natural light to give me a hint.
You were out for hours, Brooks said in an urgent tone. It's almost 8 p.m.
The second moon. I scrambled off the bed, landing with a thud on the marble floor. Pain shot up my short leg.
How? It only felt like minutes.
Time's marked differently in the in-between spaces, Brooks said.
Here you go.
Jazz came back, holding a mug so big I had to grip it with both hands.
Drink up.
I looked into the cup. The dark, thick liquid spun in tight swirls like a storm was brewing inside. Why is it turning like that? I was worried something might be in there doing all the spinning, and whatever it was, I didn't want it in my stomach. Jazz sniffed.
It's chocolate.
But he said it with a Spanish accent. Chocolate.
It's the living drink of the gods, he said. Haven't you ever heard of Ishkakao?
Goddess of chocolate, I said.
All the gods are crazy for this stuff, Jazz said. Plus, it has enchanted healing properties. Hey, watch out.
He stuck his giant hand under the cup.
Don't spill on the rug.
There's a goddess of chocolate?
Hondo said, smiling.
I seriously need to meet her.
This chocolate is from a very good year, Jazz beamed. Hints of vanilla, cherry, and a splash of burnt caramel. Go on, taste it.
Brooks nodded, letting me know it was okay to drink the stuff. I took a slow sip. The chocolate was warm and thick. Actually, it was delicious and went down like velvety pudding. I could see why the gods loved it. It was pretty much the best thing I'd ever tasted. Jazz laughed and slapped me on the back. I nearly flew across the room.
How do you feel?
I took a quick inventory. It was strange, but all my aches and pains and the chills, they were all gone. I felt rested, strong, clear-headed.
Good,
I said, wishing I could have more of this drink of the gods now that my mug was empty.
I knew it, the giant boomed. You're a sobrenatural. Don't even try to lie. That chocolate would have done some serious damage to you if you were human.
What? You could have killed him,
Hondo shouted.
Nah, Jazz said. We giants have excellent senses. I knew he had magic in his blood the second he walked into my shop.
His gaze turned to Brooks.
Jazz, Brooks began, I wanted to tell you, but,
she stumbled on her words.
I was trying to keep you out of danger.
Giants were built for danger, little hawk, he said. Now fess up.
I looked from Jazz to Brooks, knowing we could never tell him I was a godborn. Lifting her chin, Brooks said with complete confidence, he's a magician. Jazz narrowed his eyes and unbuttoned his vest.
Then show me some magic, he said to me.
Magic? I'm still feeling pretty weak and...
He's still learning his powers, Hondo cut in.
Brooks climbed onto the bed and cupped Jazz's face in her hands.
You know I've never lied to you. And right now, we have to go before time runs out.
Man, she was seriously convincing. It made me wonder how many lies she'd convinced me of. My stomach turned. Jazz lowered his shoulders.
I trust you.
Brooks kissed him on the cheek, hopped off the bed, and hoisted her pack over her shoulder.
Thanks. For everything.
Hang on, Jazz said. I've got one more thing for you guys.
He left and came back holding 3 garment bags on hangers.
While Zane was out cold, I ran that errand you asked for, little hawk. You can't go to the big birthday bash wearing...
He eyed each of us critically.
Those clothes.
I looked down at my blood-spattered sweatshirt. Stains aside, this was a cool shirt. Hondo took a bag and unzipped it. He looked from the clothes to Jazz, to the bag again.
Dude, I'm not going to a funeral.
Jazz laughed.
You might be.
Yeah, that was comforting. Brooks took her bag, looked inside, and rolled her eyes.
A dress, Jazz? Really? You know I hate dresses.
I couldn't even picture Brooks in a dress. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even imagine her at a party. She didn't seem like the kind of girl who mingled easily. Jazz folded his huge arms over his chest.
Only beautiful creatures get the twins' real attention.
Hondo laughed. No threads are going to make me look, isn't beautiful for girls?
The clothes are kind of enchanted, Brooks said to him.
Enchanted? I parroted, checking out the crisp white shirt and black suit in my bag. And the tie? Was he kidding? Brooks took the bag from me, tossed it onto the bed, and sighed.
It means you'll look perfect, no matter what your true appearance is, she said. All our faults will be gone. Everyone will only see us as...
She hesitated and looked away.
Beautiful.
Jazz stroked his chin.
Sort of like Cinderella. And by the way, that story's a total ripoff of my family's history. But that's another tale for another time. The enchantment has a few rules. First, have any of you worn enchanted clothes in the last year?
Hondo and I looked at each other, confused, then shook our heads.
Me neither, Brooks said.
Good, Jazz said. Now, remember, the magic only lasts 2 hours, so you'd better get their attention soon.
We'll look perfect? No faults? Hondo's grin spread across his whole face.
I am so down with this.
Brooks rolled her eyes.
Ugh.
Hang on, I said. Does this mean the twins will give us what we want if we're wearing these?
Not exactly, Brooks said. It just means they'll talk to you. They really have a thing against unbeautiful people. Like I said, they're jerks.
Hondo's grin faded.
These guys sound like they need a good whooping.
Brooks and Hondo left to change, and I stood alone in the sea blue room, staring at the clothes and wondering, will they hide my limp? Was I shallow for wishing they would? For wanting to be someone people noticed for something other than what was wrong with me? I slipped on the clothes, and I had to hand it to Jazz. He had gotten the sizes exactly right. Even the shoes were a perfect fit. The guy was gifted, which was weird all by itself, given Jazz's own fashion choices. Now for the tie. How in the heck was I supposed to knot it right? I went over to a gold-framed full-length mirror in the corner, and when I got there, my heart stopped.
not because of what I saw, but because I suddenly realized I had just walked 5 feet perfectly. I turned and paced. My short leg moved in perfect rhythm with my other leg. "Holy crap," I muttered. I ran to the bed, launched myself onto it, and hopped off. It was amazing. I raced back to the mirror. Maybe it was the encantamiento, but these clothes were seriously cool-looking. Best disguise in the universe. Disguise? That's when a crazy idea struck me. I glanced over at the full mug of chocolate on the nightstand. Drink of the gods. Jazz had said the gods couldn't resist it. I could put Mr. O's evil chili pepper seed in this stuff and get Apuch to drink it. Once La Muerte did her magic, I'd send him back to Xibalba. It was genius. I rushed into the bathroom, looking for something to put the chocolate in, but all I found were huge tubes of toothpaste and soaps shaped like shells. Finally, I discovered a cabinet near the sofa with dozens of liquor bottles in it. Behind the tall bottles were a few mini ones. I grabbed one that read Jack Daniel's Alouche Blend and emptied it into the bathroom sink. Then I got La Muerte out of my pack. Carefully, I split open the pepper and dropped the seeds into the bottle before pouring the chocolate inside.
Whoa!
That was Hondo.
Dude, you're like, seriously sick!
He startled me so much, I almost dropped the bottle. I stuffed it into my chest coat pocket and spun to face him. I'd never paid any attention to whether Hondo was good-looking or not. I mean, he had plenty of girlfriends, or so he said. They never came to the house. But now he looked like one of those rugged, cool, relaxed guys in the fancy car commercials. He was wearing the same kind of black suit, white shirt, and thin black tie I had on. I blinked.
You're taller.
I know. Jazz said it's part of the enchantment. The quality you hate most about yourself is hidden. He beamed.
And you, dude, who knew you were so guapo? I mean, it definitely comes from my side of the family, but still.
With a deep breath, I walked toward him. His eyes bugged out.
You're limp, he said quietly. Gone.
But I knew that wouldn't last forever. We looked like those dudes from Men in Black. Hondo went to the mirror and adjusted his tie.
Yeah, well, they kicked some serious alien butt.
The door opened, and Jazz came in, smiling ear to ear. Brooks was right behind him.
Let me tell you, I'd seen movies and I'd seen magazines, but never, and I mean never, had I seen someone who looked like her. And I didn't care what Jazz said. It wasn't the enchantment, or the fact that she wore her white one-shoulder dress like some kind of Roman goddess, or the way her long dark hair was swept off her face and tied back with two small braids. It was what shone through all that. The Brooks who had shown up outside Father Baumgarten's office that day with the beat-up combat boots and million-watt smile. The girl who'd risk her own life to save yours. I stopped breathing. Hondo walked over to her.
You clean up good, Capitan.
I thought Brooks's face would get red or she'd look down shyly, but no. She owned it. She wore her beauty like she was used to it. Her hawk eyes met mine, and I was the one whose cheeks got hot. I was the one who had to look down, because seriously, looking at her was like trying to gaze at the sun. I was glad when Hondo spoke up.
Will there be any food at this fiesta? He asked, patting his stomach. Because I'm starving.
Plenty, Jazz said, looking at his massive gold watch. But Sleeping Beauty here put you guys seriously behind schedule. The doors close in like 30 minutes, and you'll never make it in traffic.
Can we walk? I asked, because with my new leg, I felt like I could run a marathon. Jazz stroked his chin, thinking,
I've got a better idea. Come on, I'll show you.
A minute later, we were back in his surf shop. He threaded between a row of bikes and went to a closet where he rolled out what looked like an electric scooter, except this one was built for someone Jazz's size. I'm talking a massive platform and two wide wheels at the front. You want us to ride a scooter to the party? Brooks asked.
Jazz sucked in a gulp of air like he was offended.
This is not a scooter.
He shook his head and added,
I call it the Super Turbo Jazz. This baby's a high-powered, heavy-duty package, equipped with disc brakes and shockers.
Honda was nodding and smiling while he traced his hands over the thing like it was some kind of magic. I could tell he couldn't wait to get it on the road.
Dude, the tires are, like, built for off-roading. Check out the treads.
And I've messed with the GPS, Jazz said proudly. It practically drives itself. But whatever you do, don't hit the turbo button.
Why not? I asked.
Last time I tried it, the thing burst into flames.
He rubbed his chin, thinking.
I'm pretty sure I've fixed the wiring, but I haven't tested it yet.
Got it, Brooks said. No turbo button. How long will it take to get there?
Jazz tapped the control panel, then said,
It's programmed all the way to Beverly Hills. Should take you 5 minutes, tops.
Brooks blinked and her mouth fell open. You think we could go 15 miles in 5 minutes in this?
Like I said, Jazz beamed, it's fast. You can weave right through traffic. Could even jump the curb. Just don't kill any pedestrians. I don't need any more tickets. Oh, and that reminds me. It's sort of an illegal vehicle, so don't let any cops see you.
Guess we'll have to blaze, Hondo said, a little too excitedly.
A second later, we stood on the boardwalk with the Super Turbo Jazz. A silvery fog was rolling in. The pedestrian traffic was waning. Vendors, if you could call them that, were packing up. Music was fading. Even the sidewalk art seemed to be vanishing like the last traces of sun.
So, who's going to take the wheel?
Jazz asked.
That would be me, Hondo said.
Brooks and I didn't argue.
Sturdiest legs in the rear, Jazz said. They're the anchor. We don't need anyone flying off this thing.
Go on, Brooks nudged me. You ride the back. Did you catch that? I was the anchor.
Hondo stepped onto the wide platform and pressed a button, and the thing vibrated silently. Without an engine, I didn't understand how we were going to blaze, but by now, I'd seen how peculiar magic could be.
Do you want me to go with you? Jazz said to Brooks.
His gray eyes softened when he looked at her. With a sigh, she said,
I got this.
Jazz said we could leave our things at his place until we came back. And let me tell you, leaving my cane behind, that was the best part. Chapter 23. The Super Turbo Jazz went from 0 to 80 in like 4 seconds. The jolt was so sudden I thought I might fly off the back, but I rooted my legs onto the platform, willing them not to let us down. Feeling their strength was incredible. I felt bigger. The sky looked clearer, and the air smelled fresher. Hondo laughed.
Man, this thing flies!
He was right. We had to be doing 80, maybe 90, barreling down Pacific Avenue, weaving between cars.
Are you steering?
I shouted over Brooks's shoulder, hoping Hondo had control of this thing. He took his hands off the wheel and said,
Look, Ma, no hands!
Not funny! I hollered. The dark ocean whizzed by. Could Pacific see me? Could Huracan? I imagined what we must have looked like. 3 overdressed musketeers flying through the night on an illegal scooter. Car horns blared as we zoomed by. People screamed some choice words, but the Turbo Jazz raced along like it had a mind of its own. And the best part? Brooks leaned against me, and I kept one arm wrapped tightly around her. A second later, she was in my head.
Where'd you go? When your spirit jumped?
I was... How could I explain the empty? And hadn't Huracan said he'd created it? That made it feel like a secret.
Did all the gods create their own hideouts?
I met my dad, I said out loud, because right then I was feeling powerful and I didn't care if wicked ears were listening. The turbo made a sharp right down a busy street lined with small shops, cafes, and yoga studios. A stoplight was coming up, but the turbo zoomed right through it. A couple of pedestrians jumped out of the way.
Sorry,
Hondo shouted to them. They shook their fists at us. Someone might have thrown their coffee in our direction. Hondo hooted and howled like he was having the time of his life.
Did you say you met your dad?
Hondo shouted over his shoulder.
Who is he?
Brooks asked. I tilted my head back and watched the first stars zip by.
Huracan, I said.
Brooks tried to face me, but she couldn't turn around.
One leg?
Hondo let out a light laugh.
He's a one-legged god?
No, I argued, feeling my face flush. Why did it matter to me what they called him?
He has one serpent leg, supposedly.
And so did I, apparently, whatever that meant. Hondo hollered over his shoulder.
Screen says 2 minutes. It's up ahead.
But those 2 minutes were cut short by a siren and red flashing lights.
Don't stop, Brooks warned.
We didn't have much time, and if we got arrested, we'd never get to the party.
I can't shake him, Hondo shouted.
A very big voice that I was sure belonged to an even bigger dude sounded over the cop's loudspeaker.
Pull over immediately.
What do you want to do, kid?
Hondo called to me. I glanced over my shoulder. The cop was a few feet away.
Crap.
With a deep breath, I sent a prayer up to the saints and anyone else listening. Then I said,
hit the turbo button.
Are you deranged? Brooks said.
Jazz only thinks he fixed it.
Thinks is good enough for me, Hondo said. Then,
adios, sucker.
And without hesitation, he hit the red button marked turbo. It felt like the atmosphere burned up around us. There was an explosion of white, as if we were hurtling through the Milky Way. The air got cold, and I could no longer feel the ground beneath us. All the breath was sucked from my lungs. We came to a sudden stop. We were thrown off the turbo, and as I spun through the air, all I could think was, please land in a soft spot. Luckily for us, that spot was a thicket of bushes spread out across a lush green lawn. I lay still for a second, blinking, waiting for the terrible pressure in my head to disappear. Slowly, I sat up.
Brooks? Hondo?
Brooks was next to me, catching her breath, plucking branches out of her messed up hair. Hondo rolled to his feet, moaning and cursing. We were in front of a pink building with a grande sign that read, Beverly Hills Hotel.
You guys okay?
I asked, glad I hadn't broken anything. Hondo wasn't so lucky. He was clutching his left arm.
Might have busted a bone or two.
Brooks and I hurried over.
Give it a minute,
she said, lightly touching his arm.
The enchantment will fix it.
Hondo raised a single brow and tried to smile, but grimaced instead.
You mean nothing can hurt us while we're enchanted?
I asked.
Technically, you could die, Brooks said.
But as long as that doesn't happen, the enchantment fixes all imperfections. She was right, because in the same instant, the grass stains on her white dress faded, and her hair readjusted itself, weaving back into perfect braids. We all waited, held our breath, except Hondo, who was still cursing. Then he straightened and looked down at his arm. He shook it out, threw a punch at the air, and laughed.
Someone seriously needs to market this stuff.
Brooks let out a breath.
It's the reason enchantment doesn't last for long, and you can only use it once a year.
Imagine what people would do to get their hands on something like this if it could be made permanent.
Yeah, imagine.
A part of me regretted wasting it on the dumb twins. If I'd waited, I could have used it to run with the storm and take down Apooch. But then I wouldn't have gotten an audience with the twins, the only other godborns in existence, and I was still convinced they had intel I needed. I simply had to learn what they did to defeat Pukeface. Then I would bolt to the old world.
Man, Huracan was going to be seriously impressed. We made our way to the front of the hotel, where exotic cars were lined